Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we are going to be reading some creepy stories sent in by viewers just like you. Now, if you're new to this particular series, this is a series where we read stuff that we normally wouldn't. So these are like average, everyday scary stories, if that makes sense. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone else here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that'll creep you out tonight. I was 19 at the time of this story. I was living in Littleton, Colorado. For the short amount of time I lived there, I had many crazy situations happen. For now, I will tell you about one in particular. It will help to know what I look like so you can better understand why this may have happened to me. As I said, I was 19 at the time. I stood at 5'7 and 130 pounds. I have wildly colored hair, bright red, several facial piercings, and arm and chest tattoos. It was a warm day, so I was wearing weather-comfortable clothes, shorts and a tank top, along with a pair of flip-flops and a sun hat. Because of previous situations I had found myself in, I had stopped taking night walks. Instead, I went late afternoon. I had let my boyfriend take my truck to work because I didn't have to work that day and had no plans. But I wanted to surprise him at work to take him to dinner after he got off, so I started walking up Broadway towards Colfax. Now, if you've ever lived in Denver or been there for any amount of time, people will generally warn you about Colfax Avenue. It's busy, and some sketchy wildlife lives and walks that street. But for some reason, my oh-so-awesome roommates did not warn this little white girl of the many horrors that could await you on Colfax Avenue. Okay, maybe a bit dramatic, but my experience was not pleasant. Back to the story. I turned from Broadway onto Colfax. As soon as I turned, it was like stepping into another world. There was a bus stop, and it was bumping. Also, I'm pretty sure I saw a guy taking bumps pressed up against the nearest building. Several homeless people were laying and sitting in various places up the street. Two obviously tweaked-out chicks were screaming at each other about something I didn't care to gather. I walked quickly for two or three blocks with my heart in my throat. I'm not cut out for this sort of social interaction. I accidentally made eye contact with the dirty man lurking in the alleyway. Quickly, I looked down at my flip-flops and walked on. After a few blocks, the crowd thinned out a bit and I was feeling less frazzled. I was actually starting to enjoy my walk a little bit. But then I noticed this van. It was parked on a side street, trying to look inconspicuous, I supposed, because I could see the driver slide down in the seat. I couldn't make any details, but I could see that it was an older male with a dark complexion and dark short hair. Trying not to stare for too long, I committed this creeper van to memory. It was white, with blacked out back windows, no company markings, and no front license plate. Red flags are going off in my head, but I push away the feeling. I walk another block or two and again I see this van on a side street. It's moved up a couple of blocks as well. I get a nervous chill, though I press on, trying not to look scared. After another couple of blocks, I see this van again. I don't like where I think this is heading, so I stand my ground and face this van, staring into this man's face, waiting for a reaction to me noticing him. To my horror, he gets out of the van, slamming the door behind him. He's a smallish Spanish man, maybe 5'4 and 150-ish pounds. Shorter than me, but definitely bigger. My mind is racing as he runs across the road toward me. I am frozen. I wasn't expecting this at all. As soon as he reaches me, he starts speaking in broken English. I can mostly understand him. He compliments me, my hair, piercings, freckles, and, but. Oh, joy. Awkwardly, I thank him, now confused. What does he want? Why is he so brave? Then he asks for, sex. I nearly choke and ask him to repeat himself, not sure if I was hearing him correctly. But I was. He pulled his wallet out and offered me 200. I take a large step back as he grabs my butt and licks his lips. I'm harshly telling him I'm not that kind of girl. He's barking up the wrong tree. I turn and speed walk away from this man, starting to panic as I think of a plan. The man is following me, waving the $200 around like it could convince me to come back. The first door I see, I run to and yank open. I throw myself in at mock speed and bounce off the bouncer. I fall on my butt with a yelp. The bouncer helps me up and asks me why I'm in such a hurry. I'm too flustered to make anything out since I was creeped out and he was asking me for my ID. I looked around to realize I'm in a pub. I tell him on the verge of tears that I'm only 19 and trying to hide from a man who is following me outside. I'm practically having a panic attack as the bouncer guides me to the bar and fetches me a glass of water. I gulp it. The bouncer wants a description of the man and I gave it. He tells me to hang tight and he disappears out the door. After a few long minutes, he tells me the man won't be a problem anymore. Reasonably, I am still scared. My new hero asks me where I am heading. I check my GPS on my phone, only 2 blocks to where my boyfriend's work is. The bouncer clocks out on his break and offers to walk me the remaining 2 blocks. I beam and latch onto the man's arm, thanking him repeatedly. He pats my hand and laughs, telling me to keep off Colpax from now on. I promised I would. When we walked into my boyfriend's work, he gave me a quizzical look. I thanked the bouncer again and sent him on his way. I explained what happened to my man, and he laughed at me. Perhaps I deserved that, but no one warned me. I didn't take him to dinner that night and never walked that street alone again. So, creepy guy in the van, just please stay a hell away from me and keep your $200 for something less creepy. I'm a female and I'm 27. At the time of this story, I was 19. I was living in Littleton, which is a suburb of Denver. I lived and worked within the same block, working at a hair salon, and I lived in an apartment across the street and behind the salon. I lived with 4 other people in a studio apartment. Yes, it was chaos. But I was young and dumb and worked so much I was only there to sleep. While working at the salon, I met people from all walks of life. Most were nice and hardworking like myself. In the plaza, where the salon was, there happened to be an abundance of loiterers, homeless drunks, and stuff like that. There was a particular man I saw very often. He was an older black gentleman. He always smelled like booze, but was nice enough. Quite the flirt all, though, which was uncomfortable for a 19-year-old, but on several occasions, he asked me to come and hang out and drink with him. I always refused, telling him of my boyfriend. For the life of me, I cannot remember this guy's name, so for the sake of the story, I will call him Mark. One afternoon, after getting off work around 4, I started to meander my way across the parking lot to the coffee shop. I ordered my drink and took it outside to sit and enjoy the sunny weather. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Mark approaching me rapidly. A broad smile across his face, asking me for a lighter. Begrudgingly, I obliged, passing it over. Mark lights his cigarette and returns the lighter to me, as he not so gracefully brushes my arm. a disgusting chill ran up my spine. I pulled away and stood up, saying it was time for me to go. Mark begged me to come drink with him. Again, I refused. After that, I didn't see him for several weeks. It was bliss. Since I felt like he was always lurking around the plaza waiting for some sorry soul to look his way. Then, one night, I decided to go for a walk around the neighborhood. I preferred night walks because it wasn't so hot. I went around downtown Littleton and looped back to my apartment complex. Then, as I was maybe 10 minutes away from my house, a figure appeared on the walkway ahead of me. I thought nothing of it at first, since a lot of people were out and about. But as I got closer, I recognized the person. It was Mark. He swayed this way and that on the cement, nearly falling into the road. This is where I made my first mistake. I should have crossed the road or turned around. Instead, I decided to walk past him, hoping he wouldn't know who I am in his state. Alas, no dice. Mark got in my way and stopped, smiling that broad smile once again. I sighed, resigned to my fate of having to talk to him. I asked him how he was and if he had a good day. He said he did, but it would be better if he had some drinking company. I said not I, because I had to work early in the morning the next day. Unfortunately, he was unbothered and continued to beg, trying to drunk puppy dog eyes on me. I was slightly uneasy, but otherwise unmoved. Laughing awkwardly, I tried to edge mine around him. He held out his arms, blocking my path. With a serious face, I demanded Mark move out of my way so I could return home. For some reason, this flipped a switch within him. Suddenly angry, he grabbed me by the arm, holding it tightly. I winced and tried to shake him off, but Mark wouldn't let go. He took another step towards me and grabbed my other arm. Immediately, I knew it was going to bruise. The pain sent me into fight or flight mode. My body picked both. First, I shoved Mark hard into the shrubbery behind him. Then, I took off sprinting down the sidewalk. I didn't stop until I burst through my apartment door. I dissolved into tears and fell to the floor. Alarmed, my roommates comforted and questioned me. After I pulled my stuff together, I told them what happened. My boyfriend was furious and stormed out of the room with a bat in hand, and his friends hot in his heels. My other roommate stayed with me, and when my boyfriend and his friend returned, they said they couldn't find him. Luckily for Mark. We thought of calling the cops but rejected the idea because we weren't totally on the right side of the law. Pot wasn't legal in Colorado quite yet at this point. So instead, I bought pepper spray and started carrying a knife on my person. It did make me feel much safer. I stopped going for walks after dark unless my boyfriend went with me. Strangely, I never saw Mark again after that night, though I was completely okay with it. So wherever you may have gone, Mark, just leave me alone. Next time, I will poke a hole in you. I was 18 years old. I just moved into my new apartment with my best friend in a totally new city. I grew up in the country my whole life, so living in a city was a strange feeling for me. I had really bad social anxiety, so I'd avoid going to the grocery store during the day as much as possible. This night, I decided to head out at around 1:30 a.m. to get some things we need for our place. I drove into an almost empty Walmart. There were maybe 5 cars in total in the parking lot, so I was pretty happy to avoid any social interaction with anybody. The moment I walked into the store, 2 men took notice of me. They were just standing there, watching me as I grabbed a cart and heading towards the produce section. They were situated next to the woman's bathroom. My thought at the time was they must have checked out and are about to head to their car. I could feel their eyes on me the entire time as I shopped, until I saw out of the corner of my eye them leaving the building. I sighed with relief. My biggest fear at the time was they'd aggressively try to ask me for my number or harass me throughout the store. They just had that vibe about them. I purposely took a little longer than usual shopping for my items. I wanted to make sure they were long gone before I left the store. I just had a feeling. I checked out at this point. I was probably one of the only customers in the store. The moment I exited the store, I noticed I had a car right next to mine that wasn't there before. It was an Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. I only knew that because my family had the same car back in the 90s. I then noticed the two men I saw earlier standing next to it smoking a cigarette. My heart sank for a moment, I thought. Should I go back inside? Should I ask somebody to walk me to my car? I decided I wasn't going to embarrass myself over nothing, so I decided to risk it. Not my smartest idea ever. As I briskly walked to my truck, I thought maybe if I smile at them and act real nice, they won't, you know, try to attack me. I walked over to my car seemingly confident in myself and just gave the men a little smile. That's when one of them looked straight at me and said, "It's quiet night." I knew he said those words to scare me, so I picked up my pace even more. Right when I thought I was about to be attacked, a lovely customer left the Walmart building. I was so relieved. I ran really fast to my car and locked the door. I swear I did this all in lightning speed. The men jumped in their car right away too. I drove off as fast as I could and realized they had taken off behind me. All I wanted to do was go home, but I didn't want them to know where I lived. So I just kept driving down weird roads. All the while, they followed me. I had a brilliant thought to park my car in the police station parking lot, and sure enough, they turned down another road. I sat there for a while, called my roommate and told her about what had happened to me. I made sure as I drove home no cars were following me. The next morning, I was at work when my roommate called me over. She looked completely spooked. She asked if the waitress would retell me what she had just told her. Turns out, in the next town over, only 10 minutes away from where I lived, at 3 a.m. in another Walmart parking lot, a girl was attacked and grabbed. From what I was told, she fought really hard to break free from their grasp while they tried to force her into their car. She kicked and screamed until someone from Walmart came out and the guys hopped in their car and sped off. I asked the waitress if she remembered anything about the car they drove. It was an Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. For some background, I'm a 17-year-old guy who is 6'1 and around 185 pounds. I live with my aunt on the weekends due to some personal stuff. So to get a better understanding, I'll tell you the layout. So my aunt lives in her basement, and there's a door to the backyard at the top of the basement stairs. At the bottom is a bathroom and the laundry room. The bathroom is behind a sliding door. This is my story. It was around 1 a.m., and I was making something to eat. My aunt came into the kitchen as I was going down the stairs. I looked at the door and said to my aunt, "Hey, Beef, did you unlock the door?" She looked at me weird. "No, Amelia, her dog, has been inside for a while." I shrugged it off and locked the door. If I had only known that it would be the worst thing that I would ever do. I walked downstairs and sat on the couch and picked up the dog. I was dog sitting. I ate and watched TV when I heard the bathroom door creak. I put it off to the draft coming from the laundry room. It is around 3 a.m. now and I have to pee. The puppy is sleeping, but I still pee with the door open. With the door open, it blocks the laundry room door, but I can still see it in the mirror. I moved a little and I looked at it trying to investigate. But when my rabbit, whose hutch is in the next bathroom, started to make noises, I finished washing my hands and closed the door. I got them out for a while and let them play. When it was around 6 a.m., I was getting tired. I put the rabbits back, played with the puppy for a bit, and then I sat in the chair with the puppy on my chest and turned off the light. A few minutes later, I hear the bathroom door creak and the puppy starts to bark. I wake up and turn the light on. A man, who I knew as my aunt's ex and my creepy stalker, Jay, was standing there in front of me. He was holding a knife. I yelled for my roommate Dee and my aunt. Dee came flying down the stairs and saw Jay, who was now closer to me. I was shaking and holding the puppy away from harm. Dee tackled Jay and my aunt called the cops. Jay was arrested for trespassing and threatened with a deadly weapon. He was on probation and now he's in jail. He was trying to kill me so that he could have my aunt's love and attention, not me. He was also going to kill my aunt's boyfriend, Andy. My friendship with Dee is stronger now, and my aunt has put new locks on all the doors. When I was 18, I was on my way to my friend's house for a party. We met up there, and then decided to go to the local Walmart for some beer and liquor. Being the ages of 18 and 17, we all called our hookups and pulled money together. Eventually, I got a hold of my guy, and we meet up with him at Wally World. Fast forward past 20 minutes or so, and the four of us are waiting in the parking lot. After this, we are on our way back to town. I should mention that I come from a small town, and we don't have a Walmart or anything, so we all had to go one town over. So, we are headed back when this big rainstorm just kind of appears out of nowhere. It's freaking torrential, and I lose my friend's car pretty quick. I was able to find it, and I start following it again. At first, the car was headed to my friend's house, and so I just kind of followed absentmindedly. But the car started turning down all these weird side streets and looping around neighborhoods, at one point passing their house entirely. At this point, I'm starting to get confused, but figure they are just messing with me in the most stupid way imaginable. I follow the car all throughout the town, and eventually the car takes a sudden turn down a back road. I don't know how many of you live in rural areas or around rural areas, but I don't think I've ever seen a dark country road like this before. This was even made creepier by a healthy fog that kicked up just after the rain had ended. It was like a legitimate horror movie setting. Now, I should mention that I have been on this road before. It was a popular road for teenagers to drift on or take booze or smoke cruises. It was secluded with no houses around for miles and miles. Just vacant, grazing lands. But it was literal miles away from my friend's house, and now I was getting mad. I called up my friend and asked her, "Hey, where do you think you're going?" Or something like that. She doesn't understand. "You're making us follow you all through town like this. This is BS, I'm wasting gas." Then she drops the bomb. "They've been at the house for the past hour and they were just about to go and look for me. That car I was following wasn't them." I tell them I followed the wrong car back to town and turned down another road that headed back to town. I know this isn't a conventionally scary story. Nothing scary happened to me, but it's been 5 or so years and I still think about this. I stalked this person for a good hour and some change, and they did all of that in an attempt to throw me off. I must have really scared them. So if you were followed by a white Subaru Forester in 2014 in Belle Fort, South Dakota, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. In July of 2018, my family and I went to my aunt and uncle's house in Maryland. They go on vacation for a weekend, and they let us stay at their house. They live like 10 minutes away from Baltimore, so we usually go there for a day and go back to the house later. Everything was fine until the third night. When we got back to the house, my dad and brother went upstairs because they were tired. My mom and I went into my uncle's office to go on his computer to see what we could do the next day. We heard some strange noises. My mom just assumed they were house noises, but the noises seemed a bit heavy to be house noises. My mom went to the bathroom and I sat at the computer looking at attractions when I heard my uncle's dog growling from the living room. She only growls or barks when she sees someone she doesn't recognize, so I got a little scared. My mom came out of the bathroom, and I told her that the dog is growling at something. She went to the living room to check on the dog, and everything seemed normal except for one thing. The lamp was on, but the thing about that was, is I remember seeing it unplugged entirely. The lamp is also in the corner behind the giant couch, and the cord has a switch on it to turn it on or off, but the switch was closer to the floor. It would take a lot of effort to plug it in and turn it on. She assumed it was me and turned it off, but I kept telling her I didn't turn it on at all. I decided to go to bed, which I kind of regret doing. I fell asleep pretty fast, but I woke up at 3 in the morning to a strange sound. I just kept hearing a squeaky mattress noise over and over again. I knew it wasn't my parents because I heard my dad snoring, and I knew my brother wasn't making that noise because I heard him snoring as well. All of our bedroom doors were open, so it was pretty easy to hear, but I was the only one hearing it. I started hearing the dog growling viciously from the living room. I was covered in my sweat, and my fear was rising. I then heard footsteps coming from the attic right above my room. I was wide awake at that point, and was gonna wake up my parents, but since I was so scared, I didn't want to move. Eventually, all the noises stopped, but the dog was still viciously growling at something or even someone. She stopped growling after about 5 minutes. Everything was seemingly fine after that, but I had no interest in falling back asleep, and didn't get out of bed until I saw my brother get out of bed at sunrise. I asked him if he heard anything at all at 3 in the morning, but he said no. I also asked my parents if they heard anything, and they also said no. My mind was blown, and I thought I was going crazy. For the rest of the week, everything was fine, and that dog kept growling at something every once in a while. I kind of wish I got up out of bed to see what was squeaking, but I was also way too scared. I also wish I got up to see what the dog was growling at, but no way in hell was I going to go up into that attic. I don't know if I was just hallucinating, witnessing paranormal activity, or what, but I definitely don't know, and it definitely was not a dream. Growing up, I always visited my cousin who lived in a not-so-great neighborhood. It wasn't that bad, but bad enough to have creepy neighbors. She's half Hispanic, and was fairly pretty. So one day, she and I were hanging out around the end of her street. I was about 15, which would have had made her about 13. So, we're talking about the boy she had a crush on and laughing about stupid stuff. I remember, I was standing up while she was sitting on the curb, while this car drives by slowly. We both look up, and it's this Hispanic man, probably in his 30s. He was looking at her smiling, but never said anything and drove off. We didn't think anything about it, and actually laughed it off as a what the heck is his problem kind of thing. A few minutes later, he drives back by, even slower than before. He's closer now, and is saying something to her in Spanish. She's always been an angry little ball of hate, and said something along the lines of, "I don't speak Spanish, creep." He drives off, and we laugh again, before going back to talking about her crush. Again, a few minutes later he drives back by. This time he looks angry and is still saying something in Spanish. This time I get a really bad feeling and pull her up off the curb, and start to pull her away. The lot that we were in front of was empty, overgrown, and had a way to get back to her backyard. He's starting to drive alongside the street and keeps saying we didn't understand, getting angrier. Me being the paranoid person, even at that age, I start to try to get her to run. I'm starting to panic. I think she noticed and she grabs my hand and runs. We run through the empty lot, not looking back to see if he's still there. The way this empty lot is set up, you can kind of see the backyards of the houses on the street. So we hid behind some of the bushes, waiting for him to drive off. He does, and we start running through her neighbor's backyards and finally get to hers. We run as fast as we can to her back door. My heart was beating so fast. We get inside, and for whatever reason, we grab a knife. I don't know, we were kids. We look outside from the kitchen, and we still see him circling the block looking for us. We hide and the panic starts to die down. We end up laughing about it and decide to not tell our moms. It still creeps me out thinking about it though, and I was terrified of being outside of her house from then on. Later, we found out that she told her crush, who lived in front of the guy. The crush told his dad who threatened the creep. Needless to say, I never want to be in that situation again. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true stories sent in by viewers just like you. I know these aren't the typical kind of stories I read. Normally I'm reading some supernatural or park ranger kind of thing, but these stories are still kind of interesting nonetheless. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a stalker story or something supernatural, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us and subscribe? Turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, on all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcast platform you can find out there. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is Green Lily Pad. Be sure to comment that down below to let me know you made it to the end and to confuse anybody who didn't. I always love seeing how creative your replies are. It's a lot of fun. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Tally-ho.